I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 7th of October. We have a great show for you this hour. Robert Reich will join us in just a little while. He, of course, was Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration. He is teaching at Berkeley now, and he's written so many books. He has a new film, Inequality for All, which was in theaters, and you can get it in other places now. He is writing these days about why the economy is still failing most Americans. He was in Seattle to congratulate union and community organizers who helped Seattle enact the first $15 per hour minimum wage, and today, actually, Mayor de Blasio in New York City set the minimum wage in that city at $13.13 an hour. It will soon go to $15. So we'll look at the economy with him. He wrote a very interesting piece about pharmaceuticals. It seems to me as though nobody has done a very careful examination of the pharmaceutical industry, but he got us thinking that we should do a show on that, and we will ask him about that. It makes the economy easy to understand, even for me, and I so appreciate that. So he'll be joining us momentarily. As you know, though, we are in our fall membership drive. And talking about our economy, your support is the future, the foundation of our budget. It's what makes us roll. It's where you go for great programs. And we'll have our guest with us, Robert Reich, in just a moment. KP Whaley, the great producer of this show, is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552 to make your gift in support of all of the programs that you count on.
That's right. And we did hear from 15 people last hour. We want to thank those new and returning members for their pledges. And thank you for pledging with
us. Right now we have a terrific – I love these because you pledge when you know that it's double your money. We have one of those dollar-for-dollar matches, and it's up to $3,000. You give $100, it's really you're giving $200. This doesn't come around very often, so it's a terrific thing. And the generous match is from anonymous donors, including – some people from Sun Prairie who love the Ideas Network. It means that they will match every dollar you give, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And if that isn't enough for
you. Yeah, if it's not enough, what's next?
When you pledge, you'll also be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can donate any amount during the fall membership drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery or even experience the rich culture and cuisine of France.
Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The reason I love working on this show, Kathleen, as you know, you can get headlines and sound bites all over the place. And you can't get the really in-depth discussions and the full amount of time that's needed to understand and unpack a huge issue.
Absolutely.
Like you can here.
I know. It's really wonderful. We get hour-long conversations. You don't just get this 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. We get plenty of time to develop ideas and to ask questions, and you get to participate in this as always. We have a great history with so many guests. Robert Reich has joined us many times before, and you have a chance to speak with him. We're a great source of in-depth information. So your support right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, makes the programs possible.
And again, everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. It's your choice, the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. You could be the lucky winner when you make your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard that has your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706. You can enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
All rise. Department 1 of the Superior Court is now back in session. Honorable Judge Wilson presiding.
Please be seated. Attorney Mueller, it's your turn to cross-examine the expert witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, sir, remind us, you're a soil scientist?
That's right.
And you said the soil in the victim's garden matched the soil on my client's shoes?
Yes, they were both silty with an unusual amount of copper.
Would you say that soil is ideally suited to growing cucumbers?
What I'm sure of is the soil in the victim's garden is the very same soil in the shoes of the accused.
There have been many coyote sightings in the neighborhood recently. Is it possible that coyote droppings are enriching the soil for better resistance to tomato blight?
Your Honor, cucumbers, coyote droppings, tomato blight?
Attorney Mueller, I have to request that you stick with the issue at hand, and that's defending your client from some very serious charges.
Certainly, but can't we just ask about common garden insects before moving on?
Yes, Larry Mueller could be a defense attorney, but isn't it better that he's hosting the Larry Mueller Show on WPR? Your support makes WPR programs possible and gets to the bottom of that tomato blight problem. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
You can do that by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We certainly don't want Larry being a lawyer, do we?
No, we don't. Maybe he does. I don't know.
I'm KP Whaley here with Kathleen Dunn asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during the fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $105 a month, we really appreciate all of it and count on it for the support of the station.
Pledging to WPR is very quick. It's really easy. And if you become a sustainer, you really simplify your donation. You'll make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or from your credit card.
And another benefit, that support will renew automatically each year, so your membership is always current. You don't have to worry about that. So pick any amount right now that works for you, say $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We hear great stories from WPR listeners, and we have great WPR guests. Secretary of Labor under the Clinton administration, Robert Reich, will join us in just a moment. People are usually giving comments about how WPR touches their lives, and the donor comments that you hear during this pledge drive are really good examples.
Yeah, and the stories really kind of show us how we're all connected to each other as a larger community here in the state and around the state and around the other states around us as well. So we all love great radio programs that engage us, inspire us, challenge us, make us think, and your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes great WPR experiences possible for you and for the larger community.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match. In effect, right now, these don't come around all the time, so this is a good time to pledge. It's from anonymous donors, including a couple from Sun Prairie who love the Ideas Network. Your gift of $50 then turns into $100, $100 into $200. You get the idea. Take advantage of the match. Double your support for WPR programs. Give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And here's another great reason to give, KP.
That's right. If you pledge any amount, you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can go a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River. This is amazing. You can go to Alaska. You can take a trip to France. And you can double the impact of your pledge right now during that match, and also enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. Make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month, any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part. You can help by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
We're getting some people taking advantage of that dollar match that's in effect right now.
Thanks, everybody.
Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far this hour.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And if you're a sustainer, you can just sit back and relax, unless you want to give us more, then that's all right.
That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. You're automatically entered.
This pledge drive, we also are offering something very useful for your pledge of just $5 a month. A handy WPR logo secure ID tag. You can stick one of these on your key rings, and if you lose it, they have a way of finding their way back to you. You can protect the stuff that you love and your public and support your public radio station. When you pledge just $5 a month, that's only $60 or more, and you can ask for those ID tags at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Thank you so much, KP. Your pledge, very important, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Robert Reich is with us now, Chancellor's Professor of Public Policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He, of course, was Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration. Time magazine named him one of the 10 most effective cabinet secretaries of the 20th century. He's written 13 books, including Aftershock and The Work of Nations. Beyond Outrage is out now in paperback. He's written many other books as well. His new film, Inequality for All, is available on Netflix, iTunes, DVD, and also on demand. He is also founding editor of the American Prospect magazine and chair of Common Cause. And we're delighted to have him with us to make sense of the economy and why people feel that they're not doing very well. We'll talk about the minimum wage. We will look at how the very rich are making even more and what we can do to change that. And he's also written recently about the pharmaceutical industry, so I wanted to ask him a bit about that. We do have an on-air phone number for Secretary Reich, so keep that in mind because we'd love to take your phone calls for him. That number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Secretary Reich, a pleasure to speak with you again. Hello, sir.
Well, it's just a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, always our pleasure to have you. So the mayor of New York did an executive order today, 1313, for a minimum wage in New York.
Yes. In fact, in following upon Seattle's decision to raise its minimum wage in increments to $15 an hour, other cities, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, has a $15 minimum wage on its ballot coming up in November, the polling shows that is very, very likely to pass. We see a real movement across this country.
Mm-hmm. And if more and more cities follow this example, you say that the hike isn't going to cost jobs. It will put more money into the pockets of low-wage workers, of middle-income workers. They're going to be spending it in the areas in which they live.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what we've seen every time the minimum wage has been increased over the past 40 years. We've actually seen that people who have more money in their pockets, particularly low-wage workers, spend the money. They spend it mostly in the vicinity on all sorts of goods and services, and that creates more jobs because the job creators in this country are not the CEOs and the wealthy. The job creators really are the vast middle class and the poor who spend what they earn, and they spend it in ways that create incentives for companies to expand and hire.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the big picture here, Secretary Reich. You talk about the wealthy not investing in new companies, the rate of new business formation in the country dropped by half, which is huge, between 1980 and 2014. They're using their money to buy back their shares of stock. No reason for them to expand or invest if customers aren't buying. So do we need more than a hike in the minimum wage to get customers to start buying again, to get businesses to start expanding?
Yes, I think we do, Kathleen. I mean, we're going to have to do a variety of things that helps the middle class and the poor do better. This is not a zero-sum game in which the rich have to sacrifice if the middle and the poor are going to do better and vice versa. I mean, what we've learned in this country, and we particularly have learned it really repeatedly over the last 100 years, is that when the middle class does better and has more bargaining power, has more money, the rising tide does lift all boats. I mean, the very, very richest people in this country would do better with a smaller share of a rapidly growing economy that's growing rapidly because more people have more money to buy than they are doing now with an economy that is growing very, very slowly, one of the most anemic recoveries we've had in history.
So what does it take to change all of this? I don't understand how we can be stuck with so many people really hurting for such a long period of time without government or somebody taking action.
Well, one of the problems is that many people don't know why it is happening. A lot of people who are poor or are losing their jobs even now, or who are, even if they're in a job, they don't have a job that pays very well, pays less than the last job they have, and they blame themselves. They feel like it's all their own fault. They don't see an economic system, a structure that is working just not as it should be working, not for the benefit of most people as it used to work, but for the benefit of a very small number at the very top. And there are all sorts of elements of this, Kathleen. Part of it, obviously, is an educational system that is failing many of our young people. Part of it also is a tax system that is increasingly rigged. I mean, the sales taxes are very regressive. Property taxes tend to be quite regressive, too. And yet more and more of our tax revenues depend upon sales taxes and property taxes. And we've seen a tremendous decline over time in the top marginal tax rate, that is the income tax rate, that is the federal income tax rate on the very top. At the same time, the minimum wage in its real value, adjusted for inflation, continues to decline. And we have seen a very, very sharp decline in union membership. Mm-hmm. In the mid-1970s, 25% of the private sector workforce was unionized, and then came the Reagan Revolution, and by the end of the 1980s, only 17% of the private sector workforce was unionized. Now it's down to fewer than 7%.
You have called for, and I want you to talk about what this would look like, Secretary Rice. You say that we could use a democracy movement where the will of the people is listened to and understood and acted on. What would that movement look like?
Well, it would, for example, reverse that what I consider a very shameful Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, on top of another bad decision years ago, Buckley against Valeo. Together, they stand for two very questionable propositions, which is that money is speech under the First Amendment and corporations are people under the First Amendment. Well, we've got to reverse those. We've got to get big money out of politics. The only way we can begin to deal with the problems of an economy that is tilted ever more in the direction of people at the top is to get the big money coming from mostly the people at the top and big corporations and Wall Street out of our politics. In a sense, Kathleen, we're in a perfect storm right now. We have more concentration of income and wealth at the very top at exactly the time when we have floodgates opened to big money inundating our democracy.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that it's really, considering the gridlock in Washington, the Supreme Court who's doing our legislating for us, they gave us Citizens United. It would appear that they're also giving us same-sex marriage, although they're not doing it kind of unilaterally. Are they the only unit of government right now that's functioning? And there's obviously, in your mind, some problem with the way they're functioning.
Well, it's interesting. Our government doesn't stop functioning simply because Congress is in gridlock. Our government still has to make decisions, but the actual decision-making process moves away from the representative institutions, that is the institutions that are supposed to be representative, like Congress and the President, and moves to places like the Federal Reserve Board, which is more and more in charge of economic decision making, and the Supreme Court, which is now very much about social policy and politics in the sense of how much money people can inject into politics, but also the Pentagon would be a third relatively non-democratic, certainly non-democratic system in which our foreign policy is increasingly centralized. So it's an irony in a way. We have gridlock in our political branches, and yet with regard to the Supreme Court and the Federal Reserve and the Pentagon, more and more power is flowing out to the non-political parts of the government. Not branches, obviously, but they are non-political parts of the government.
Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich is our guest this hour, and we're going to welcome phone calls for him. I do want to remind you, we have a lot going on this hour, that we're also in a pledge drive. You know, and I want you to consider how important public radio is for discussions like this one. It's crucial. So please pledge with your support for these kinds of shows during this hour, 888-202-2552. And it's one of those double your money hours, which I'm sure as you, as a splendid economist, you would say, Secretary Rice, is a good thing. Double your money.
It's a great thing. Not only doubling your money, but also, if you don't mind me saying, public radio is a terrific antidote to a lot of the misinformation that, unfortunately, a lot of people are getting these days.
Thank you. 888-202-2552. We're going to take your phone calls. Our number for you to talk with Secretary Reich is 800-486-8655. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take a couple phone calls for Secretary Reich. Daryl in Bloomington, hi.
Yes, as former Secretary of Labor, I can see that you understand this wage equation. The real problem with the inequality and how it can be solved is if the record profit-making companies would begin to pay a better ratio of their profits and invest it into higher wages, which fuels the demand side of the economy, which also raises tax revenues, which also helps balance budgets. It just solves a multiplicity of problems.
Secretary Reich.
Well, Darrow is exactly right. I mean, corporate profits today constitute a higher share of the total economy than they have since 1929.
Wow.
And yet wages are at the lowest share of the total economy than they've been in over 60 years. You can't run an economy that way. I mean, it's not even in the interest, as Daryl pointed out, of big corporations to have that much profit in the short term, because over the long term, they can't possibly continue to show those profits, because who's going to buy all of their goods and services?
Mm-hmm. So what are they doing with all that money then? If you're making record profits and you're holding on to it, what do you do with all the money you're holding on to?
Well, they're not investing in research and development nearly to the extent that they were as a proportion of their profits. They're not investing in expansion, and as Darrow pointed out, they're certainly not investing in new jobs or in higher wages. A lot of the money is going into corporate buybacks. That is, the corporations are buying back shares of stock as a short-term means of showing stock market gains and prices, and because they obviously supply and demand. If there are fewer of your stocks outstanding, then the price per each of them is going to be higher. But that's a little bit like steroids. I mean, it's a short-term fix, but it doesn't solve the problem that corporations will be facing in the longer term in terms of lagging sales.
Let's take another call, and then we're going to pledge for a little while, and then we'll be back with Secretary Reich. Kevin in Baraboo. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. I just wanted to thank Mr. Reich for his book, and then also for the movie Inequality for All. I've had both of them, and I'm reading them. The question that I basically had was, I'm actually just also a metal sculptor. I'm a former teacher that did retire 3 years ago when a lot of people retired because it was the best option. But I'm a metal sculptor, and I do some artwork that deals with words. And I guess the piece that I just finished today was talks about voting, and it says, vote yes, everyone needs to do so. And the question that I had was, do you have a quote of that you would like to see put into art? And if you want to look,
okay. Well, that's a good. You got.
Well, that's a good question, Kevin. I mean, I think something like we've got to reclaim our economy and our democracy. How about that?
There you go. That's good. That's good. Thank you very much, Kevin. Send us some pictures of your work. We would like to see that. We are speaking this hour with former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. He's now teaching public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He's written a ton of books, and that film that our caller mentioned is Inequality for All, which was in theaters. It's now available, if you haven't seen it, on Netflix, iTunes, DVD, and on demand. His latest book, he's written many of them, Beyond Outrage, is now out in paperback. I'm Kathleen Dunn, Secretary Reich with us again in just a moment, but we also have our very important fall membership drive happening at this moment. You rely on us for these kinds of discussions, so your gift of any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $3,000 in effect. So it's really a great time to pledge. because an anonymous donors, including a pair from Sun Prairie who love the Ideas Network, are going to double every dollar that you give. So it's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double your impact right now by going to WPR.org or dialing 888-202-2552. And there's another good reason.
And that's you give any amount and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose from a cruise along the Rhine River, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle. So double your donation now and get entered in the drawing and continue listening to Secretary Reich, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed, entertained. It brings you incredible voices like Secretary Reich. And you enjoy the program, and also Joy Cardine and Zorba Pastor and Central Time and all the others that you've come to rely on.
We give you a window on the world like no other, so support the mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'd like to think that public radio is a partnership. WPR and NPR work together to bring you news coverage, and public radio hosts, producers, and reporters are in partnership with you, the listener.
We receive some money, as you know, from the government, but the single largest part comes from you, from listeners who depend on WPR every day. So take a few moments to join the public radio partnership with a donation of $5 a month or whatever amount is good for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, a very large slice of WPR's budget pie. In fact, the biggest slice is listener support. So while all of your funding, while all of our funding sources, whether it be state, federal, and business, are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. And WPR is an amazing service that is in thanks to listeners' support. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. Give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
As an added bonus, again, your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, we've got you covered.
So we do want to thank you all for pledging. It's a great hour to pledge because we've got that double your money. Kenneth from Iowa, I love Iowa. I went to school in Iowa, says WPR has great programming, and I'm so glad we get reception on multiple WPR stations in our part of Iowa. And I'm glad, too. What's the number? What's the website?
888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Thank you, KP Whaley. Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration, Robert Reich, is our guest, and we're welcoming phone calls for him at 800-486-8655. Scott in La Crosse, hey.
Hey there, Kathleen.
Hi, Scott.
Shows like this are just another reason why I am so proud to be a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. You guys do a great job.
Thank you,
and
Scott.
I think you're doing a pretty good job explaining things to Secretary Reich.
Yes,
well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Now, my question for you is this. I have heard that our multinational corporations, which really have loyalty only to shareholders and seemingly to no country, are doing very well because they've gotten to the point where not only do they not need American workers, since they've offshored so many jobs or automated them, they don't even need us as consumers anymore because they're really playing on the making fortunes off their new developing country workforces, like the Chinese and the Indian economies, buying the products. So are we really in a position where they're running, where they've got the money or running our government and don't even have to be concerned at all about anybody who just happens to be a resident of this country?
Well, you're right in one sense. That is, big American corporations, the biggest, are increasingly relying on foreign sales as well as foreign shareholders and even foreign investors. Overall. But here's the problem. Big companies are discovering that foreign markets right now are not doing very well. China is slowing down considerably. Europe is still on the edge of recession. In fact, by some measures, it is in recession. Japan is still in the kind of magnetic field of a 10-year long regression in Japan that is very, very difficult for Japan to get out of. India is doing much, much worse than it was doing before. All of the markets that are commodity markets, you know, like Brazil and Australia, that sell to Europe and China and the United States, they also are having difficulties because the sales are down. So, in other words, all of the big companies that are relying on foreign sales to supplement or make up for the slowdown in American sales are discovering that the world market is not nearly as good as they had hoped. So once again, they are turning back, or at least hoping that the American market is going to be their salvation. It's not that way, unfortunately. American consumers don't have enough money to turn around and buy all of the goods that American companies are making, American consumers actually are not able to pull us out of the economic doldrums we're in.
And thank you very much. You have written that we shouldn't blame globalization for all of this, that there are many other nations that have the same global competition, but they are able to preserve the middle class wages. So who's able to do that, and how are they able to do that and we're not?
Well, one good example would be Germany. Germany is certainly suffering because the rest of Europe is suffering, but Germany nonetheless has a median wage that is higher than the median wage in the United States right now. The top 1% in Germany, the really wealthy Germans right at the top, are taking home about 11% of total income in Germany, compared with the 22% of total income that the top 1% in America is taking home. In other words, the people at the top in America are taking home twice as much as a percentage of the total economy as the top in Germany. But the average Germans, the people in the middle, the vast middle class in Germany is doing much, much better. Why is that? Well, I think that Germany, for one thing, has held on to labor unions. Mm. Labor unions are much larger, more powerful, more significant. Unions in many big companies have a say in company policy. There is something called co-determination in Germany that still exists in many big companies. And at the same time, Germany is putting a great deal of financial capital behind technical education, vocational education, higher education, K-12 education. Their educational system is among the best in the world. Ours is not.
Thank you, Scott, as always, for your call. Louis in Wausau. Hi.
Hello. It will probably come to us as a surprise to a great many people that the 1%, the large corporations, are in fact net eliminators of jobs in this country, and that all new jobs come from small startup companies. This is from my own research, but confirmed by the Kauffman Foundation, which I think is a credible and competent organization that studies these matters. And can Dr. Reich comment on that?
Yes, Lou, you're absolutely right. And my research confirms exactly what you have found, that the biggest companies, at least over the last 14 years, since the year 2000, they have been shedding more jobs than they've been creating. They've been outsourcing abroad. They've been outsourcing inside the United States. They've been putting employees on contract, making them contract workers rather than full employees. They've been using part-timers. They've been replacing jobs with machinery, automated machinery, digital machinery. But the small businesses in the United States are the ones that have been accounting for most of the job growth.
Thank you very much for your call, Louis. Let's go to Richard in Madison. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Professor Reich. I was wondering if you're familiar with Thomas Hungerford's study that he did in 2012 on taxes in the economy, in which he shows that...
Who is he, Richard?
Thomas Hungerford.
I'm sorry, I don't know who he is. Could you just enlighten
me? He's a congressional researcher. He works for Congress, nonpartisan.
Right.
He came out with a report, Taxes and the Economy, in which he studied the top tax rates from 1945 on. And he found that even in the Eisenhower years, when there was a very high tax rate on the super rich, there was no indication that that stimulated the economy, which is the argument that the Republicans are using all the time.
That's true. The Congressional Research Service and Hungerford and others, many of his colleagues, have shown that between the years 1946 and 1981, when the tax rate on the top earners was never below 70%, and in the Eisenhower administration was 91%, now we're talking about the top tax rate for the top earners, the economy grew on average faster per year than it has grown since, when the tax rate on the top earners was dramatically lowered. Richard, if you look at the effective tax rate, that is, after all deductions, all tax credits, you still see that in the late 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, all the way through 1981, the top tax rate on the top earners was over 50%, and yet the economy grew faster than it has grown since. So all of the discussion we're hearing from certain quarters saying that you can't raise taxes on the rich because it would slow economic growth, it defies history. It is simply not true in terms of what we experienced between 1946 and 1981.
So what's going to budge everything, Secretary of Reich? We, as you know, what's happened in the state of Wisconsin and in other states, public employee unions have lost almost all of their bargaining power. Students are going out of college and they're paying huge amounts of money to go to college to jobs that aren't going to allow them to pay back their enormous student debt. Everybody's struggling. They're not making what they made, 20 years ago in real income. I mean, there's kind of this pall over everything, and I just don't understand what's going to make everybody feel like they're getting a better shake and how they're going to feel the government is working for them. How do we move from where we are to where everybody would feel better?
I don't think it's rocket science, Kathleen. We adopt what countries that are doing very much better than we are doing, and we do what we also did between 1946 and 1981. I mean, that is, we invest in education, we invest in infrastructure, highways, bridges, pipes, all of the systems that we need that are crumbling right now that could provide very, very good jobs. We make sure that people can unionize who want to and need unions to give them a bargaining leverage that they need. Otherwise, all of the profits go to the very top. We also, at the same time, have a tax system that is more equitable. I mean, if you do all of that in terms of education, infrastructure, unions, a tax system, I'd add in a minimum wage that keeps up with inflation. Today's minimum wage at $7.25 is almost 20% below what the minimum wage was in 1968, if you adjust for inflation. None of this, again, we could do all of these things. We have done them in the past. Other nations do very, very similar things that I'm recommending. This is not complicated. And yet, for various reasons, we have decided to turn our backs on what we have experienced. It's kind of a collective amnesia we're suffering.
Mm. Claire in Baraboo, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you. And what an honor to speak to Secretary Reich. Obviously, we all are realizing the trickle-down message is not correct, and we need to kill that somehow. But Secretary Reich said something earlier on about the amount of corporate funds shared with workers right now is as low as the year 1920-something.
1929.
And, of course, we all know the Depression came in roughly 1930. Are we headed for another Depression if this trend continues, Secretary Reich?
I certainly hope not. Nobody wants another Depression. But if the middle class and the poor don't have enough money in their pockets to buy what can be produced, And then if the rest of the world is also slowing down dramatically, including China, then there is a danger of a recession. I don't think a depression, but I think certainly a danger of another deep recession. And we already have too many people still unemployed as a result of the Great Recession. We have too many people who are still underwater in terms of their home values and the amount they owe on their homes. We've got student debt that is at record levels, and many students today cannot get jobs they need to start paying off that debt. So we have a lot of troubling indicators that are, as I want to emphasize, we don't need to sit back and say this is inevitable or this is just the way the economy works. It's not the way the economy works. It's not inevitable. We have not had to be here before. Other nations are not where we are right now. We can take steps that reverse this trend.
Mm-hmm. And let's go to Tony in Milwaukee. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, Kathleen. Good afternoon, Secretary Reich. I'm a follower of yours on Facebook and often chime in on your Facebook page. What I'm dealing with here is the unemployment rate, which recently has been told to us that it's 5.9%. But I'm living out here in the real world. In the real world, it's probably 15 to 20%, depending on where you're living. And in Milwaukee, it's probably at least 15 to 18% unemployment. Can you address that and how our elected officials kind of deny the fact that we are actually in a semi-depression? This is not a recession. This is a depression. I've been out of work for 2 years and have no hope of finding a job in my career field.
What's your career field, Tony?
I worked in city government for 12 years.
Oh.
And I was, let's put it this way, I was knocked out of the budget.
Hmm.
Tony, as I travel around the country, I can only confirm what you are seeing and what you're feeling. This is not really a recovery for most Americans. That 5.9% unemployment figure does not include all of the people who are too discouraged to look for work or have not been able to find jobs in years. It does include people who are working part-time. They're counted as full-time workers, but they don't feel like full-time workers. They're part-time workers. Many people who used to have full-time jobs are now working on a contingent basis. They are independent contractors, or they're suppliers, or they're working in temp agencies, or they have very insecure incomes, and they wouldn't say that they're in very much better position either. I think we do have to face the fact that this economy is not a strong economy. This is a very weak economy. It's a weak recovery. And it's a weak recovery largely because all of the gains from this recovery have gone to the top. In fact, I'm looking right now at a chart I just dug up because several people had mentioned this. And the chart shows that since 2000, really starting with the 1991 recovery, in every recovery, the top 10% gets much more of the gains from the recovery than the bottom 90%. And in the current recovery, the top 10% is getting all of the gains, and the bottom 90% is actually losing ground.
Wow.
In other words, this is the first recovery in which 90% of Americans are worse off now than they were in 2009 at the start of the recovery.
Wouldn't you think that everybody would be so mad?
Well, I think a lot of people are mad, Kathleen, but they blame, first of all, they don't know who to blame. Some of them blame the rich, some of them blame the poor, some of them blame immigrants, some of them blame Congress, some of them blame the president.
Yes.
There's a lot of blame to go around. Other people blame themselves. They feel like they're alone, that they are guilty, they are shamed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that the economic system is not working. It's dysfunctional. They take it very, very personally, and I've seen and talked with many people around the country who are feel nothing but shame for their economic plight.
Maybe that sculpture that our caller wanted you to write something for, maybe we should end where we started. We could use a democracy movement.
I think we have to have a democracy movement. And we also, the other phrase that I was thinking of for that sculpture was, it's not your fault.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one, too. You're so smart. You make me understand all these things I never thought I could understand. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, our pleasure. Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration, Robert Reich. His latest book, he's written many of them, Beyond Outrage, is now out in paperback. His new film, Inequality for All, we talked with him about that film when it came out, is now available on Netflix, iTunes, DVD, and on demand. He also does weekly commentaries, you probably know, on public radio's Marketplace. And we are pledging right now, so if this is the kind of material you'd like to have on the air, 888-202-2552 is our number, and we need your support. We won't hoard it. We'll give it right back to you. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. This is also our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on us for conversations like the one you just heard. It's your gift that makes these discussions possible. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It's really the best time to pledge because anonymous donors, including a pair from Sun Prairie who love the Ideas Network, will double every dollar that you give. It's really their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So you can double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And there's also another good reason.
You can give any amount and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You'll get to choose, cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle. Double your donation now and get entered in the drawing. What an hour. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And what an hour it has been.
It's been great.
Secretary Reich,
it's a terrific guest.
Joining us this hour. Just a really wonderful example of the really informative, quality guests, quality conversations that we have. And where else can you talk to former Secretary of Labor?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours down the road possible. Make your pledge, WPR.org or
888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. You know, maybe if you can, becoming a 9XM leadership, making one of those contributions are really a wonderful way. It's $100 a month or more, and listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station, and those 9XM members are a very important part of that picture. So if you can afford that, we'd really appreciate it.
That'd be great. Help us continue to grow with a leadership gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Marcy from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. First of all, the word obsessed has been used with public radio. I've been listening to nothing but public radio for probably upwards of 20-some years. When I made a transition moving back to Wisconsin after being gone for 20-some years, it was a great way for me to sort of get back to what was going on, feeling involved. It was a great connection, and I think that's probably the word that I think of the most. I feel very connected when I'm listening to public radio. I'm a sustaining member because I don't have to think about it. Well, first of all, it's so easy. I don't have to do anything. I wish all my bills could just magically be paid that way. And although it's not a bill for what it gives back to me, it is something that I'm willing to pay for. It enriches my life. It's invaluable to me, so I'm happy to give back.
And now's your chance to give back as well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. I'm KP Whaley, producer of The Kathleen Dunn Show, here with Kathleen as well, asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of just $10 or even $15 a month, really whatever amount you can afford, is the right amount.
Giving just takes a few minutes of your time, your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, how you'd like to pay. You can do it in one lump sum or become a monthly sustainer. But no matter how you choose to give or how much you give, please use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, you've probably heard the phrase, think big. You probably heard it on the show, in fact. Think big. It's an expression you can really put into practice by listening to and then giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. When you listen, you get the best music, talk, news, and it encourages you encourages you to think big.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now from anonymous donors, including people from Sun Prairie who love the Ideas Network. Take advantage of the match. Double your support for WPR programs. And here's how you do it, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
As a reminder, pledge of any amount will get you automatically entered in to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can go to the Rhine River, you can go to Alaska or France. Double your impact of the pledge and enter the drawing now.
And it's true that it feels great to support something that you love. You use it, you rely on it every single day. Put your money where your values are. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Do you know a $10 a month contribution to WPR is just a little over 30 cents a day? You probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things you value a lot less than WPR.
Yeah, how true. So spend a little and get a lot in return. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can join Lee from Winona, who says she loves the Kathleen Dunn Show, always has such interesting and inspiring topics that she often finds herself discussing what she's learned on the show during the day.
Thank you, Lee. So do I. Thanks, Hey P. Whaley, and thanks to Secretary Reich for being with us.